You've heard this one before. Rock and Roll Kid signs contract with Creepy Record Producer. Creepy Record Producer bilks Kid out of all royalties. Kid sues record label. Record label wins. But how's this for a new ending? 35 years later, Kid, now rock and roll icon, returns to the label that almost ruined him. That's the story of John Fogerty. He was the unmistakable voice of Creedence Clearwater Revival. That's Proud Mary, one of a string of giant hits in the 60s and 70s, written and sung by John Fogerty. Now, every time you hear that on the radio, it's not Fogerty, but his label, Fantasy Records, which makes the money. Despite the fact that Fogerty and Fantasy Records were in and out of the courts trading lawsuits for years, they're now reunited with the release of a new Fogerty CD called Revival. I dreamed I walked in heaven just the other night. There was so much beauty, so much light. Don't you wish it was true? Don't you wish it was true? John Fogerty joins us from NPR's New York studios. Welcome.
Hello, thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And let me start off by asking, how did you get back together with Fantasy Records?
Well, the real truth here is that the old owners sold the company, I think about 3 years ago, mm-hmm. to some delightful new people, most notably Norman Lear. Therefore, the old people that really, you know, made my life pretty miserable for a long time have no interest at all.
How is it that you weren't paid artist royalties? Is that something that the record company can choose not to pay you if you, as it sounds like you might have done when you were a kid, kind of signed a bad contract?
To call it bad is a euphemism. It was so one-sided and so unbelievably harsh. Really, in the beginning, we gave the contract to our bass player's dad, who is a lawyer. He was part of a big law firm in Oakland. They represented the Oakland Raiders among their clients. Or at least that was the band's idea. We gave it to Stu and said, you know, have your dad look at this contract. And as the years have gone by, I'm not quite sure what really happened. All I know is a couple of weeks later, we were loading up the old van, trying to, you know, on our way to some gig somewhere. And we all said, hey, Stu, what'd your dad say about that contract? And Stu said something like, he said fine. And we said, well, what do you mean fine? Well, he said it's okay to sign. You know, and looking back, perhaps Stu never showed it to his dad. Maybe he just sort of, I really don't know the real truth. All I know is that I really paid dearly for that indiscretion.
This label actually, I mean, to give people some perspective, your label actually sued you once for sounding like John Fogerty, didn't
Correct.
It?
Correct, yeah.
Tell me about that case quickly.
Well, when I finally got enough fortitude together to make a new record, the record was Centerfield. And the lead track on Centerfield was a song called Old Man Down the Road, which certainly from the opening guitar lick, it had a spooky, swampy sound, you know, much like what I sounded like when I was in Creedence Clearwater. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the bass player of my old band went down to Fantasy Records with a copy of my new album, Centerfield, played Saul Zance a few of the cuts, and then
Saul Zance is the bad guy.
Yeah, he's the guy owning
the person
Fantasy.
You think is a bad guy.
Yes, allegedly a bad guy, if you will. anyway, Stu played some of the cuts from my new album, and he said, John is ripping off Creedence. You should sue him. So Saul did. There came a point where I actually had to sing a little bit of both songs in court to
in
the
court.
Jury.
You're kidding.
You know, looking back now, it is kind of fun. It's bizarre, I think is what I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking to John Fogerty. His new CD is called Revival. Now, you wrote one of the most familiar protest songs of the Vietnam era with the song Fortunate Son. Let's hear a little bit of that. Now, there are a few songs on your new CD, Revival, that take on the war in Iraq and the current administration, the Bush administration, and I guess that sort of has echoes from Fortunate Son.
Well, yeah. I mean, back in 1970, I was protesting a different war and a different president, but even the song Fortunate Son could have been written yesterday, actually. Hmm. It's amazing how these, and it's also sad how these things go away and then come around again. I can't take it no more. I can't take it no more. I'm sick and tired of your dirty little war. I can't take it no more. You know you lied about the casualties. You know you lied about the WFDs. You know you lied about the detainees. All over this wild. I don't really want to come off as a political pundit all the time trying to write political songs. It seems to be perhaps what reviewers and critics like to focus on. But the way of doing business that this particular administration seems to be doing it is very upsetting to me. I must say, seeing George night after night say something like, well, we must stay the course, we must stay the course, we must stay the course. I've heard these same things from another president in another time. I bet you never saw the old school yard. I bet you never saw the National Guard. You daddy wrote a check and there you are. Another fortunate song. I can't take it no more. I thought you were supposed to mellow with age. Well, in many ways I have. I've learned to be a little more patient. But I'm not patient about people dying.
Another song on the album is called Broken Down Cowboy, and you sing the lyrics, he's played every card he's got, had a good hand, but he messed it up. Do you feel like a sort of a tragic figure in the music industry?
If you could see the smile on my face right now.
Oh, good.
When my wife and I first met, my wife Julie, it was about 20 years ago. At that point in time, I really was a mess. I was you'd say a rock and roll casualty. And
are we talking sex, drugs, rock and roll kind of stuff?
All of it, sure. Mm-hmm. And she saw something in me, and thank God she did. I sure saw something in her. From the first moment we met, my life began to get better. Eventually, there was so much love in my heart that all the bad stuff, all the bitterness, just was sort of squeezed out. It was sort of forced out of me. Broken Down Cowboy became very much a personal song between myself and Julie. It was our story. But please remember, this was our story 20 years ago when we first met. I'm not that broken down cowboy anymore. I'm a very happy guy. Hold your string, you sang you a lonesome song, but it wound up alone again. If I was a gambling man, never would have let you play that hand with a broken down cowboy like me.
You say you're happy again. You're happy now, and you've produced a really fun album. It's really it's light in places. It's got a lot of dynamic. But I wonder if you would think it was fair to say that it sounds somewhat like classic Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh my God! It better sound exactly like classic Creedence Clearwater Revival.
After all this time and all the legal battles.
Well, what happened was I had an album out 3 years ago called Deja Vu, and the album itself was quite acoustic. I had gotten myself into finger style and flat pick and that sort of stuff, but it said, wow, John, you know, maybe this stuff was cool to you, but maybe your fans didn't really come along with you. You know, maybe they're not all that thrilled about flat picking or whatever. I call them tangents. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of had this little conversation with myself. So why don't you get yourself back into your own middle, your own center? Now, you understand from some of the things you've talked to me about, when you get sued for sounding like yourself, you actually get a little paranoid. Basically, in the years after that lawsuit, I'd be in my little music room at various times doing a swamp rock kind of Creedence-y sounding thing on the guitar, and up would pop a little gremlin on my shoulder going, no, you can't sound like that. I'm going to sue you. And it would absolutely kill my inspiration. I mean, it was like that. It was over for that day. I would get really PO'd at times. Anyway, one day this year, I was in my music room, and I'm kind of swamping out on a cool guitar and getting kind of that Creedence-y vibe going. Mm-hmm. And I literally said in my mind, wow, Creedence song. And sure enough, up pops the little gremlin. And he goes, no. And I look over and I said, you go away. Get the bleep, bleep, bleep out of my room. Get out of my life. I don't want you here anymore. I'm going to do what I'm going to do and just go away. Never come back.
John Fogerty's new CD on Fantasy Records is called Revival. He joined us from NPR Studios in New York. John Fogerty, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. Night after night, people coming up to the bandstand. They
say you can't go wrong if you play a little bit of that crazy song. More new songs from John Fogerty are at our website, npr.org/music. And now, these parting words for you from another great American musician and lyricist, George Gershwin. He said, true music must repeat the thought and inspirations of the people and the time. My people are Americans. My time is today. And that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Andrea Seabrook.